Hi, and welcome to this episode of Teen Health Matters. Today, we're interviewing Dr. Kevin Gilbert, Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Howard County Public School System. This is a new feature for Teen Health Matters where we're going to interview change makers that have an impact on teens and their well-being. So I want to introduce my co-host today.
Hi, everyone. This is Shanae Vicks.
And we want to welcome Dr. Gilbert to our program today.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gilbert, for coming in today. Oh, and I would be remiss by not saying Happy New Year.
This is the first
podcast of the year. So, Dr. Gilbert, can you tell us a little bit about your background, experience, and what brought you to Howard County Public Schools?
Sure. And Happy New Year, everyone who's listening. So, I'm a 20-plus year educator. Most of my education or most of my professional practice was in Mississippi. I was there. I started in the classroom in 1996 and did 8 years in the classroom. I did 3 years as assistant principal at a high school, and then I spent 6 years as president of the Mississippi Association of Educators in Mississippi. And you know, then I started working in central office as a teacher leader special projects coordinator for the Clinton Public School District. And after 20-some years in Mississippi of education, I was looking for a change and wanting to do work that really was impactful not just in terms of what can be done around the academic realm, but what can we do most importantly through education that supports students and families. And was introduced to this new position that was being created in the Howard County Public School System. Turned in my resume, went through the interview process, and was selected. And, one of the things that helped lead me to this work was the commitment of my superintendent, Dr. Martorano, and the district in wanting to uplift the work of diversity, talk about strengthening our schools through equity, and being as inclusive as possible. And so having a passion for that kind of work and having a passion for trying to do meaningful, engaging work and partnership work, I was excited to come, and it's been a great ride so far, and I look forward to more work in the future.
Great. So since you mentioned this was a new role, can you kind of give us a little more detail as to what exactly the Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion does?
Our superintendent has set out a strategic call to action, learning and leading with equity. And one of the central parts of this is creating a school district and a vision that values the diversity, the rich diversity here in Howard County, that makes up our student body, that makes up our staff, that makes up our communities that we serve. And by valuing them and allowing the community at large to really have a powerful role in helping shape and be partners with us in the district. And so my role is to kind of help align the district's efforts around diversity, equity, and inclusion, work with the school chiefs and help them to help not only send our message, but look for ways that we can help build sustainable cultures and climate that help promote, value, respect all of our students, all of our families, all of our communities, all of our staff that are associated and work with the Howard County Public School System. And so it's very broad, but it does allow me to work with Dr. Martorano and the other chiefs and actually doing some work with our schools that will impact the lives of our students and our staff.
So you mentioned partnerships that you're looking to develop to have the impact that you want to have. So what types of partnerships are you thinking about having or developing or that you currently have developed?
So when I talk about partnerships, it has a meaning of a couple of meanings. Of course, there is a standard meaning that we have for partnerships where we're going to look to work with other community groups, other organizations who want to partner with Howard County Public School System in advancing efforts that around diversity, equity, and inclusion. But another word about the partnership is actually building a relationship, a relationship with all those who we interact with. There are several guiding principles that that we use in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion for the school district. And one of those is having partnerships with our families and our community members, because they're vital parts, and they're a vital part of helping the students that we serve on a daily basis. And so looking at those two forms of the formal partnerships, where we will work with other groups and actually build relationships, are two big important things that I will kind of help work with the district in terms of bringing to fruition. So anyone who has an interest in wanting to make sure that our students are extremely successful, want to help share ideas, help give feedback and input on initiatives and things that we have, we're willing and ready to open up our arms to build those relationships.
So I know you mentioned the students briefly. What exactly do you hope that learning, health, and wellness looks like for students, given your new role?
This work, as for me, is student-centered. And what I mean by student-centered is all the work that we're doing around diversity, equity, and inclusion is designed to help build what we're calling engaged and inspired learners, the students that are actively working within our district, that when they leave Howard County Public School System and move forward and beyond, they are energized, they're engaged, and they're inspired to do great things. And so what that looks like, especially when it comes around the health and wellness of our students, for me, one of the roles is around social and emotional learning, social and emotional needs. What are those social and emotional needs that we can help support them, help support our students so that they can be as effective as possible? You know, and also looking at other things that our district does around health as it pertains to food services, what kind of, you know, the food services that we're providing for our students. Dr. Martorano has set out an ambitious goal of, you know, gradually getting us there, but one, a social worker as well as nurses in all of our schools. And so these are, you know, long-term goals that I will help support him in his efforts, but gets to what I believe your point is around the health and wellness of our students. And the big part of that for me is what can we do to support them on the social and emotional end.
So I think you sort of segued into the next question. Definitely social emotional needs, nutrition are very important issues that the health department, also Teen Health Matters, focuses on. So we're just wondering if there are any specific plans on how you help to work with Howard County Public Schools to address health and wellness.
So as far as my role is, I have to work with the experts in our district, and so that pretty much will land in our student services department. Whenever needed, I will meet with them periodically to see, you know, what's happening. But in terms of how I can help with that role, I always talk about using data to inform and drive what we do. So I will be keeping a keen eye on what the data and the statistics to say, what is the data showing us. And we will look at, because one of the things we talk about, or I talk about in this work, is in order for us to make sure that we are promoting equity in its true form, we have to open up all of our data. We have to look at everything to kind of get us to have us see what our patterns are, what is happening on that end. And so if I look at a statistic or I look at some data points as it pertains to health and wellness issues, one of my roles is to help bring that to the attention of our school leaders, and then help to develop strategies to fix or correct those deficiencies. And so I don't know any specifics because I don't want to outspeak, but I can definitely make sure we talk to people, or I make sure I have conversations with those who have a keen eye around health and wellness programs for our students, that deal with our social and emotional learning needs for our students, and all that's housed within our student services department. So having a relationship with those individuals is going to be key, and to making sure we provide those specific needs that our students need.
To segue regarding the social and emotional needs for students, are these the students across the board, or is this specific to high school, middle school?
Students across the board. Okay. And I think, you know, one of the things that you'll hear Dr. Martorano talk about, that this is a birth through 12 grade situation, right? So, you know, working on what happens before getting our students school ready and what happens birth to pre-K and then after that. And so looking at that on that entire continuum is how we're going to go about this, because it's not just enough to focus on what happens once you get to high school if you don't take care of the needs before students even make it that way. And so, yeah, we're looking at this from a birth to 12th grade continuum and beyond.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll finish our conversation. We'll continue our conversation with Dr. Gilbert.
Safety and trust is something everyone wants out of a relationship. Ensuring you and your partner have been tested for sexually transmitted diseases can help with that. Unfortunately, young adults ages 15 to 24 account for more than half of the new cases of gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV in Howard County. Prevention is so much better than infection. Get tested. For more information, visit teenhealthmatters.org or call 410-313-7500 to schedule a free and confidential appointment at the Howard County Health Department.
Let's take it slow.
Opioids are highly addictive drugs, even when prescribed. If misused, they can lead to overdose and even death. One opioid overdose is too many. You have the power to save a life. If you or someone you know are misusing prescription opioids such as oxycodone or other forms of opioids like heroin or fentanyl, please call the Howard County Health Department for treatment options and opioid overdose response training at 410-313-6202 or visit the website at howardcountymd.gov/get help.
I'm so excited for this concert.
Me too. Could you put the directions in my phone?
Hold on, man. I'm trying to put this on Snap.
Okay, I guess I'll do it myself. I'm getting so many texts.
Oh my gosh, watch out!
Approximately 27,000 people are injured or killed annually as a result of distracted driving crashes. It can wait. For more information about distracted driving, visit www.teenhealthmatters.org.
Welcome back to Teen Health Matters, and we're here with our guest today, Dr. Kevin Gilbert, and our co-host for today, Shanae Vicks.
So, Dr. Gilbert, in a recent interview with Howard County Public School System, you discussed that one of your major initiatives is the expansion restorative practices to more schools. Can you kind of give us a better explanation on what exactly that is and how it will impact the youth and the goals of this current initiative?
Correct. Yeah, so I think in Howard County, the schools have been, some schools have been doing some form of restorative practices since I believe, and I might be a little bit off on this, since 2012. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Maturano has set an expectation that he wanted restorative practices fully implemented within the entire school district, but he wanted that done with fidelity. And so what that means is that we want consistency in practice. We want to look at how our trainings are being done. We want to make sure that the processes that we have in place honor the indigenous practices of the groups who brought the circle processes to us in a manner that, and it's very important because above everything else with restorative justice is, it's about relationships. Okay. It's about building healthy relationships and building meaningful relationships with not just the staff, but the students and the community at large, and so, and the families, other students. And so what that looks like is, so what we're doing now is, so what Dr. Maturano had asked to be done is to do an assessment of what we're doing, which has been kind of completed. And then once that began, developing a strategy to make sure that we implement those, implement that throughout the district. Restorative work is very meaningful. It's heart work, H-E-A-R-T, but it can also be hard work. And because at the core of it, it's about recognizing the human dignity and the human worth of each of us as individuals. And so although many of restorative practices and educators came to the practices as an alternative to discipline, one of the things is we want to shift the narrative about our restorative work, about restorative justice, as it is a way to help grow, nurture relationships with all stakeholders in our education, our learning environment. And by doing that, by focusing in on relationships, what you hope to do is build a culture and a climate where everyone feels valued, right, respected, listened to, and feels like they are being meaningfully engaged in the entire learning process. And that's the value and the importance of doing restorative practices with fidelity in the district. And so we're working through now, trying to work on what an exact strategy to do that is. And once we get that together, we'll be trying to roll that out as soon as we can.
It sounds so far from, you know, our discussion so far, like the major themes that I'm hearing are really, like you said, relationship building, community, as well as internally, and relationships. Relationships, and also, again, going back to the social, meeting the social emotional needs. Because that's what it sounds like to me, even with the restorative practices. Right. Do meet and right. Do try to address social right. Emotional needs.
Correct. The essence of education, in my opinion, is valuing people and valuing the students we serve and valuing their families and valuing the staffs that provide the work. And everyone, you know, we hear this thing about everyone should take responsibility. Looking at it as an ownership of success, right? And so, yes, in order to be academically successful, we need to make sure that our students are socially and emotionally successful as well. And we need to provide the supports that's necessary to make sure that those are taken care of. You've heard of the whole child, educating the whole child. Everything matters. And, if we want to make sure that our students are engaged and inspired when they are within our school system and when they leave our school system, we have to be willing to provide for all the supports that they need to be successful. And it's true. That's done through relationships. Right. That's done through partnership. That's done through, you know, breaking down the power dynamics and allowing our students and our families to provide meaningful input. And for us as educators to listen to what those suggestions are and begin to figure out how we can help meet those needs that are being requested on behalf of our students and our families. And so that's a huge part of the work that I do. I'm overseeing our culture proficiency department. Our culture proficiency team has been doing that work, I believe, in the district since 07, I believe. And so really trying to elevate that work and to understand that culture proficiency is a piece of it, but it's not the only part of it. So making sure we find quality professional developments for our staff that looks at all sorts of things from bias to systemic racism to trauma-informed care to just really understanding the students that we serve, looking at diversity trainings, just whatever we can do to help build and open the spectrum so that we can really do some powerful work is one of the goals or one of the objectives that I have as Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion.
Great. So to build on your valuing of relationships, specifically with students, and gathering their input on, you know, what their opinions are about different things, specifically diversity, equity, inclusion, et cetera, can you tell us a little bit about this new group that we heard about, the Youth in Conversation, and how does that kind of align with your goals?
Right. So student voice is a very important piece of this work. Mm-hmm. And so when things happen to us, when things happen in our communities, or when students feel like they can really speak out and speak up about, you know, situations, issues as they pertain, that helps build them, build up their spirit of engagement, mm-hmm. but helps inspire them to do greater things. And so anytime we can help provide an environment for them, or provide a venue for our students to utilize that voice, I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. And so this is a collection of groups, One Howard from Howard County Government, our department, MCRC, and a couple of other groups who have been basically doing some of this work prior to me getting here. So they were doing, you know, pockets of work with some of our students. And so one of the things that I asked, or I challenged the group to do, is to put together like a student planning group, right? Mm-hmm. To bring our students together, that let's hear from our students. Because sometimes as adults, you know, we want to bring our students together, but then we want to dictate on what those things look like, right? We want to say, you know, we got our students here, we want to do this, and this with you. But this group is a little bit different. This group is designed for our students to elevate their voices, for our students to take control, take command of what it is they need, and start having conversations around diversity, equity, and inclusion, and then to provide feedback to us as a district so we can know how to help meet those needs. Further, you hear me say that, how do we help meet those needs? Because that's what our job is, to listen to what's going to be needed and then try to provide those services or those supports that our students need. And so Youth in Conversation is a facilitated group of students that's empowering our students to elevate their voices, to give us meaningful dialogue around issues as they pertain to diversity, equity, and inclusion.
And is the students, again, across the board, any age?
It's students from all over the high school students.
High school students,
I think the last account I had, there was over 30 students.
That's great.
Who were participating in it. There were a couple of schools who had not sent, it was an application process. And part of that application process was that students did have to have a recommendation letter, but the recommendation letter can come from anyone. It didn't necessarily have to come from a teacher, correct? So that kind of helps open and broadens our pool of people who may be interested in wanting to belong. And so the team, Rebecca Dietz and Trent Hall with Howard County Government, are kind of taking the spearhead and leading that in partnership with our office. Shannon Keeney from my group has been assigned to work with them. And they looked at the applications, and I think now we're in the process of trying to identify schools who haven't sent, to at least get one or two students from those particular schools to have their voice at the table. I think if done right, this group could really help spearhead some very impactful differences and changes within our district.
So you mentioned there was an application process and a recommendation letter. If a student wants to participate in this group, do they get that on a website, or how do they go about getting the application?
So I can tell you what, if there's a student who's listening to this program who just heard about this group and is interested in participating, they can shoot me an email at Kevin_Gilbert. That's KEVIN_GILBERT. At hcpss.org. Okay. And I'll take it from there.
All right.
Okay, so follow-up question is, it sounds like, you know, you're definitely trying to make lasting impressions in your role. How will you, or what steps are you taking to help ensure that you have your long-lasting impact on both the students and the school environment?
So I mentioned it earlier that there are like five guiding principles that's guiding the work that I believe that the Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion can do for Howard County, and to help Dr. Martorano move his plan of equity for our district. The first is eliminating disparities in our data. So we're going to, and looking at all of our data, opening up all of our data from GT programs to discipline and et cetera, looking at those, finding those disparities, and having meaningful dialogue with our staffs, our families, and our students about what we can do to help change that. Next is supporting supporting, safe, nurturing, caring environments in our schools, right? Climates in our schools that help incubate the learning or an engagement of our students. And a lot of the restorative work we do is designed to help generate these kind of climates within our schools. Then after that, really looking at the professional learnings that we're offering. You know, when we look at the professional learnings that our teachers have, making sure that they get what they need to have the tools and the skills to meet the needs, the needs that are constantly changing of our students. And then partnerships with families, students, community organizations. And then the last guiding principle is having those meaningful engagements with families and students, who are the principal reason for our being and our students. And so how do we have those kind of engagements? How do we have those kind of partnerships with them that's going to help move our district forward? And, you know, there's these other goals that we have in mind. We're going to look at hiring practices. We're going to look at curriculum and instruction. We're going to look at, again, professional learnings. And we're going to look at making sure we continuously elevate our students' voice and making sure that our students' voice continues to be a powerful instrument we can use in our district. And so how do I make my imprint? It's about making sure that we do this work in a manner that gains a root, is sustainable. And my footprint will be if we see all of our students shrinking gaps, both academically through discipline, but through other things, and our families really truly feeling valued, and the students feeling valued, and our staffs feeling valued to be in Howard County Public School System. And you know, I'll be happy.
All right, very good. I mean, sounds like a great plan. And I know the theme about relationships, engagement, community engagement. Can you share some of the work you've done so far in terms of your community outreach to engage with community
Correct.
Members?
Correct. So I try not to turn down any group that wants to have me come by and speak. I think we shared at a health advocacy group that invited me to come in. I sat on a panel with Dr. Martorano with the African American Community Roundtable. I'm scheduled to go meet with the Council of Elders this month, I believe. When I leave here, I'm meeting with a group called Focus on Diversity. We meet periodically with us to see what's happening. There's another group that I meet with, that I work with. It's called Communities for Inclusion, a collaborative and inclusive community, another group of concerned citizens who really want to look at that. A PFLAG, for example, has a standing quarterly meeting with Dr. Martorano that I sit in on. And so those are just a few. There are others. The NAACP had an education committee call. It was supposed to be a meeting, but because of the snow, they did a conference call, and there were a lot of us on that call. I was on that call, and I'm working with our PTAC president, the Parent Teacher Association of Howard County, and helping them to work on strategies to become more diverse, inclusive, and equitable. And so, my office is open. I'm not closing any doors. If someone wants to hear me talk for a long time and want to hear what I have to say, I'm willing to share, because that's the only way we fulfill the promise and the commitment that our superintendent is trying to lay out for our students, and that is to go to where the people are, let the people hear our message, get some feedback from them, and give them what they're asking for.
I think it's really exciting the direction that you're trying to go, and the fact that you're so open to partnerships with the community, not just with community partners, but with students and parents and just Howard County at large. I'm really excited to hear that. So I guess before we end today's episode, is there anything else you want the listeners to know? Or
no, I just thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time. I gave my email address out earlier, but again, it's Kevin. Kevin_Gilbert, GILBERT, at HCPSS.org. Shoot me an email if you have questions about anything that I talked about here on the radio, or ideas you have, send them my way.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Gilbert. So that'll end this episode of Teen Health Matters. Thank you for joining us. And for more information, always go to teenhealthmatters.org. Thank you.
Thank you.